If you use it for more destruction, what will you do with it? We talked about that. Pastor Dan gave us the great analogy, skunk and turtles. That's so good. Nature, we understand we are miraculous beings. We're made of protons, neutrons, electrons, these atoms swirling all over. And it's a miracle. You are a walking, living, breathing miracle. You know that. You really are. Remind yourself of that periodically. You are not this lost soul needing rescue. You are a living, breathing miracle that needs direction from time to time. Would you agree with that? We talked about pain. We all experience pain. And in the pain, we don't try to numb it. We don't ignore it. But we have hope that after this thing, there is new life on the other side of it. And so we swim and we struggle and we keep the horizon on our minds. We keep looking because at some point we will move through the pain. There is pain on the journey. We don't ignore it. We move through it. Regret, we understand some of us, we make decisions that don't always turn out well, do we? You had a chance to invest in Starbucks and you said it's just a fad. Then you look back on that thing and you regret that thing, that moment, that decision. And the psalmist says, rather than simply looking back and living in that moment, the psalmist tells us, learn from it, grow from it, and then step forward. Learning from it, becoming a better person. That's what we do with regret. We don't live in it. We are called to be living, breathing examples of this transformation that happens in all of us. Living, breathing, walking, according to Paul, temples. Now understand this. If you're a Jewish person, the temple is where all life takes place. This is where God was. It's kind of how we talk about like the holy sanctuary. That's where everything, you know, good happens. Fellowship, Paul, we got the drums. I'm just kidding. But that's how they viewed the world. The divine space was here, and outside everything was secular. Do you see that? And so what Paul's saying is this. There is no secular for the Christian. There's only spiritual. And you walk in it. Even when baby's crying and losing her stuff, you walk in it, right? You walk in it, amen, says daddy. Good. Yeah, we are living, breathing, walking examples of the temple. There's no longer a temple, and so we are the walking, living, breathing temples. The very picture of the divine. Jesus goes on further. His whole message is the kingdom of heaven has come. That was his message, the kingdom of heaven. And he says, it's here, it's among you, it's within you, it's all around you. Some of you have been looking for a kingdom for a very long time to come. Jesus says, you are the kingdom. You're the kingdom. Start living in it. That kingdom will go on for eternity. Beautiful. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple. I'll rise it again in 3 days. This temple, this system that you know, it's going to fail you. This life, you will experience pain, brokenness, sadness. In 3 days, it will rise again. And when it does, it becomes something new. A living, breathing example, a testament of what it looks like to walk with the divine. 3 days. There's this idea called incarnation. Incarnation means to embody the presence of the thing you worship. Incarnation. So for the Romans, they tried to embody their gods by dressing like them, trying to act like them. That's how they would be the incarnation of their gods. The Christian church understands incarnation in a similar way. We are the incarnation of Jesus Christ and his teachings here and now. We are a group of people learning to embody the presence of God here and now. We become the incarnation here and now. We only do it when we move through these seasons. We learn how to navigate them with grace and love and mercy. We let them change us for the better. Psalms 111 is the last psalm I'm going to look at in this series, and it goes like this. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart and in the company of the upright, in the congregation. He's talking about community, church. Great are the works of the Lord, understood by all who want it. Here's what this tells me. You don't have to have a PhD to see this kingdom. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to have any of that to see the presence of change and beauty and restoration. You don't have to have that because it is abundantly clear to anyone who observes it. When I was growing up, we had a friend named Daniel. And Daniel, he got us into a lot of trouble. I was 15. I already had a probation officer. I was 15, and I had already gotten into a lot of trouble. The police officers knew my name. And Daniel, he was the guy behind the scenes that would be like, hey, Tony, don't you think this would be a good idea? Do you, Daniel? I do, too. And so a group of us, we would follow Daniel everywhere. Daniel was cool. I remember getting into trouble, more and more trouble. My friend Norman and Wade, we always got in trouble. One day, we're skateboarding in downtown Grand Rapids. And I remember we're sitting there, because we did more sitting than skateboarding. I was not as good as my daughter. And I remember we're sitting there, and Daniel looks at us, and he starts messing with us. Because Daniel looked at my friend Wade, and he goes, Wade, I have to apologize for some things. What? So we think it's a joke. He says, Wade, I've been a terrible influence on you. And he started apologizing for certain things that he'd done to Wade and certain places he'd try to push Wade. And Wade and all of us were really uncomfortable with this. We don't know what to do. We start kind of laughing. He says, no, guys, I'm being serious. Okay, Daniel. He looks over at Norman. Norman, man, I'm so sorry. He starts apologizing to him. Then he apologizes to me. Tony, I used to steal your money, dude, when I'd stay at your house. I did this and this and this. I was like, what? He says, guys, I need you to forgive me. And now we're thinking he is on some kind of drug, and where can we get that drug? And we look at Daniel, and we said, what's up, man? What's going on? Daniel said, things are changing for me. Daniel had met Christ. Daniel, the son of a very well-known evangelist, had met Christ, been running from him the entire, his life there until 15, been running from him. We didn't know what to think of it. We kept skateboarding. But Daniel, over the course of 4 months, made phone calls to everyone he knew, apologizing, making things right. And when Daniel went on a mission trip, and when he stood on a ladder and he lost his balance and he reached and grabbed the conduit, which had loose electrical wires that were live, and electrocuted himself to death. I remember at his funeral, his father got up front and he said, my son was made new. My son was a living, breathing testimony to what the kingdom of heaven looked like. And it was undeniable to those who knew Daniel. And that is what happens when we learn to move through these seasons and we change and we grow. That change becomes undeniable to those around you. Anyone will see it. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He's caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Here's what happens after you've experienced some of these seasons. What you'll do is you'll look back and you'll say, what did I learn? Think of some of your seasons. Some of you, you've gone through some anger, some loss, some regret, whatever seasons you've been in, I want you to think about them for a moment and ask the question, what did I learn from that season? The psalmist reminds us, looking back, remembering is important. It's part of the change and the movement and the growth. Look back at that season. What did you learn? He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. This verse is often skipped over because we're not Jewish. But here's what this means for a Jewish person, and you can imagine how this fits with the implications of the prodigal son story. You are a Jewish nation, and your inheritance has been stolen. You keep getting taken over by all of these superpowers, and they've stolen your inheritance, the thing that you felt God gave you. They have stole it. Do you get it now? And the nations that he's referencing here are those nations, Egypt, Babylon, Rome. So watch what he's saying. When you begin to walk that path, when you begin to learn and grow and remember, you take back power. You get some wisdom. And that's so powerful. Ever been in a room with someone that's experienced some wisdom? Those people are solid. 16 years old, I decided I wanted to follow what Daniel did. I wanted to experience Jesus. And so I started going to church more and more, and I got involved in a youth group, and the Sabbath school teacher, he decided, I'm going to go to Papua New Guinea. I'm like, Papua New Guinea? Where's Papua New Guinea? Well, people wear dresses. Really? Weird. Okay. It's out in the middle of nowhere, Tony, but they need desperately health care, and my wife and I, we want to bring it to them. He's going to take his whole family. And so this man, Mr. Bishop, he and his family started raising funds. And I remember watching this, getting excited. I didn't know where Papua New Guinea was, but I knew Mr. Bishop. Loved Mr. Bishop. But Mr. Bishop came to Sabbath school one day, and he was a little down, and he said, we didn't quite make the amount we needed. Please pray for us. And so a bunch of us, we started talking. What can we do to raise money for Mr. Bishop? Well, it just so happens I was a rock star. I had a garage band. We were pretty terrible. But we knew how to hit the distortion pedal. And so we decided we're going to do a benefit concert. Probably the only way to get people to actually come to our concert. We also invited another band, and we said, wouldn't it be cool if we did this whole benefit concert? And we bought like pizza, and we sold these pieces for $1 a piece. We were already understanding capitalism. And so we put this whole thing together. And then someone told me, Tony, and this is a phrase that I hear, have you taken it to the board? Who's the board? What's the board? Oh, it's a bunch of older people who make decisions in the church. Oh, have I ever seen them? No, probably not. They come on Wednesdays. Okay. So my parents said, well, you have to create a proposal. Okay. My dad made me wear my clip-on tie. And I showed up. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was at the board. Dan is beginning to say, ah, now I get why Tony is how he is on board. But I remember showing up, and I sat down, and they said, Tony, take your time. We're going to go through some other important things. You know, they talked about the carpet, the this, the that, the this. And then they said, Tony, share with us your proposal. I said, okay. Again, I had no idea. I'd never been a part of the board. I didn't know how church politics works. So I start telling them about the sweet concert me and my band are going to do. And everyone went, how we're going to raise money for the bishops, we're going to do this and this and this. And after I was done, I sat down and I thought, nailed it. And then I started to get the hands raised up. Tony, what kind of music is this? Oh, it's really good. I play the guitar. I got a sweet distortion pedal. Are there drums? Yeah, he hits them really loud. He's good. Can't wait for you to hear it. Oh, okay. They start asking me more and more questions. And I begin to realize this is not going in my favor. Before you know it, I watch as my dream of this benefit concert just gets flushed down the toilet. And I'm sitting there feeling a bit down. And the older gentleman, the head of the board, I found out later, he stood up. And he looked a little bit frustrated. And I thought, oh man, he's just going to give it to me right here in front of everybody. It's like, what are you doing, kid? This is terrible. Your music's not welcome here, blah, blah, blah. I figured that would be the next thing out of his mouth. Instead, what he did was interesting. He started looking around the table. And he said, hey, Bob, do you remember when you thought that was a good idea and we all supported you? It wasn't, was it? He went around the room. And then he said, I'm so thankful for our youth. And then he spoke something over me that years from now I begin to understand. Some of you asked, why would you ever go into ministry? Well, here's why. This man walked over and he put his hand on my shoulder and he began to prophesy. Now, I'm not talking anything weird. I'm saying he said this. He said, this young man has potential and he can do great things if he steers it in the right way. I want to support him. I will help sponsor this thing. Every hand agreed to let this thing do it. It got passed unanimously. And he helped me through the whole thing. He left when the music started. But he supported us the whole way because this man had earned respect. He had the wisdom. He walked with a limp. Because that's what people do who have gone through the seasons. They walk with a limp. They've experienced it. And there is respect that's given to those people. The man had a limp. He was wise. We gain power when we get our limp. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever to be formed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Redemption. Redemption is making all things new. It's not perfection. Please don't misunderstand that. Redemption is when something becomes a different kind of thing. And it walks and it breathes and it does things a little differently. There's repair. It's that moment when you wrestle in the darkness like Jacob. But in the morning, you got a limp, but you also have a new name. It's that moment like Moses when you are in captivity and there seems no escape from the darkness, and yet when you finally put your foot out in the water, it parts. It's those moments when you face a giant and all you got is a couple stones, but you've already done the hard work. You've killed a lion and a bear. And so you muster the courage and you run toward the giant knowing it's going to fall. You are experiencing the cross, but Sunday morning is ever, ever close. Redemption. Redemption is the story, the song that you and I are learning to sing. It's the life that we experience here individually and in community. In Manchester, there was an incident this past week. And this concert, it was aimed at children, younger people. And there was a man who had a dark desire to hurt others. And so he strapped some bombs to himself. And he walked into the Manchester Arena foyer. And the story goes, he waited. And as these children and parents all began to walk out, he hit that detonator, and 33 people lost their lives that day. The number keeps going up of injured, 55, 60. It keeps going up. In the midst of all of this, children were run over. Parents lost their children. It was a mad house. It was chaotic. But then something interesting happened, as it does. What happened is Manchester began to experience the divine. We're told that right after this happens, word was sent out to the police department. Police people, individuals working on the police staff, they even though they were not working that day, off-duty officers ran to the scene to help. They sent counselors, therapists, everyone they could think of to go there to get there on the scene. Taxi cab drivers, you won't believe this. They actually turned off their meters. And they took people to where they needed to be. They were ushering people to the hospital. Hotels in the area, they started to say, anyone involved in this incident has free stay as long as they need. Over and over and over again, I heard of these stories, these beautiful stories about hope and repair in the midst of the chaos and the brokenness and the catastrophe. There are hundreds and hundreds of these stories every time something terrible happens in our world. What happens when pain, catastrophe, injustice strikes? The redeemed use their voices. The redeemed use their voices. They share their love. They offer mercy. They carry the broken. They sing songs. They sing them loudly, passionately, with reckless abandon. The redeemed use their voices. The redeemed sing. And my hope and my prayer for you is as you move through these seasons of growth and change, that you would begin to use your voices and your stories to bring more and more hope and restoration in the midst of the chaos and the brokenness all around us. The redeemed use their songs. May God bless you today.